Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. However, we have to be connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. Now join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church International family for this message, Keys to Fruitful Living.
John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I had to establish that. John chapter 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my, 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 my. Glory be to the name of the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done, it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things are spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when Jesus is talking about this, he's also referencing what God's original plan is. And he says that, I am the vine, you are the branches. You see, if life without Jesus can be very lonely. Life without God can be very, very lonely. But one thing that we have to realize is that for us to be fruitful, for us to be productive, he's using a very important illustration here. You see, John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is the message that Jesus preached to his disciples after the Lord's Supper. He's getting ready to go. So those three chapters are very, very important. And then in chapter 17 of John, he prays for them, and then his passion continues. So it's very, very important, these three chapters. But when he gets to John chapter 15, he's talking about the branch and the vine. And remember, the first words that man heard was, be fruitful. But he tells you exactly how you are going to be fruitful. Don't let this get away from you. David realized that in life he needed help. He needed God so desperately. He could not do anything without God. He ruled Israel for 40 years. And in describing his journey in Psalm chapter 23, a famous psalm that we are all familiar with, he says something here. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, let me address somebody who may be watching online or watching on TV, and all of us as well. Who is your shepherd? If Jesus is not your shepherd, and if you are watching or listening to this, I will make a quick switch, because it's a dangerous thing to not have Jesus as a shepherd. Who is guiding you? Who is leading you? Who is in charge of your life? The Lord is my shepherd. David says, I want for everything. I'm in lack. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Okay, I was checking to see if you are with me or not. The Lord is my shepherd. That NIV says, I lack nothing. He's connected to his shepherd. He doesn't walk in lack and want. And so my prayer for us this morning as well is that as we follow Jesus, as we follow him as our shepherd, may we not lack any good thing in the name of Jesus. And if Jesus is not in your life, and you are trying to run your own life and guide your own affairs, and you are making a big mess of it, I encourage you, I actually urge you to commit your life to Jesus and let him be your shepherd. Let him lead you. important. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. When we absolutely trust in the Lord and have absolute faith in Him, and after believing in Jesus, our lives will be fruitful. But let's go back to our point here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our key text here, John chapter 15. So the key is, how do I live a fruitful life? How do I bear fruit? How does my life make a difference? Number one, to remain fruitful, to be fruitful, we must be united to the Lord. That's what he was saying. He says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, that's what bears a little dabby-dabby fruit? No. That's what bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. There is a tree in front of our house. When it gets cold during the winter, the tree will dry up, the leaves fall off, and in the natural, it seems nothing is there. You just see the bare tree, and it gets very cold. And then, when it starts, springtime comes, it starts raining, and the kids just enjoy jumping on it and going up and down on it. When springtime comes and the rain, weather gets a little bit nicer and it gets rain, you see that the branch will begin to bear leaves and eventually fruits come on it. Jesus is using that illustration here. If you do not remain in Jesus, assuming during the winter months when it gets dry, the branches decide that they have a very nice and wonderful idea. They are going to disconnect from the tree and stay by themselves because it's too difficult. It's too dry. We are not bearing any fruit. It's the dry season. So we are not going to remain tied to the tree. They disconnect. Come harvest time, will they bear fruit? They are disconnected. They are gone. You see, so many times, that's why it takes the Holy Spirit to help us. Because as we are connected to Jesus Christ as the branch, even in the difficult moments, even in the difficult seasons of life, the Holy Spirit will help us overcome those difficulties. He will help us overcome those challenges. He will help us overcome the things that we are faced with. But the key is, if we are going to be fruitful, we must abide and we must stay connected to the vine. We must stay connected to the tree. There is no way that branch can disconnect and say, and if it's not bearing any fruit, it looks at the vine and it says, "Hey vine, no fruit here, no fruit here." You've disconnected. That's why you're not bearing any fruit. He says, "He who abides in him, in me, and I in him, bears much fruit." And so I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, as you remain connected to the vine, as you remain connected to Jesus Christ, may your life begin to bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Very, 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 very important. The enemy, this job will be to come against us with so many issues, so many difficulties, so many things to let us disconnect from the vine so that we cannot bear fruit. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter how the enemy tempts us, no matter how much he comes against us, we will resist him, we'll be strong, we'll be bold in our faith, we'll stand strong and say, "No, there is no way you are going to let me disconnect from the vine. There is no way you are going to let me disconnect from my source." In the name of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be disconnected so he can keep oppressing you. But God delights in you staying connected to him so that you can bear fruit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to say, for without me, you can do nothing. How many things can you do without Jesus? Nothing. How many things can we do without him? Nothing. Very important. Very important. Without me, you can do nothing. Then there's the other piece also, where the person, you are attached to the branch, but you are not bearing any fruit. There's that piece as well. Verse 2 says, every branch in me, so this branch is still in him, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring and bear more fruit. You see, these are the kind of people who, I mean, they are still Christians, but there is no power. There is nothing to reflect in their lives that they are serving God. Easily tempted, easily complaining and grumbling all the time. There is no fruit there to show that they are connected. Jesus said, you have to be careful because they are not bearing any fruit. I have to do something about these ones. But how many of us want to live a fruitful Christian life? We are looking at keys, vital keys, to living a fruitful Christian life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we are full of the Holy Spirit to the extent that we stand for God in this season. We remain connected to the vine. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. Mark that verse in your Bible. Do something to it. The Apostle Paul wasn't there when Jesus Christ was crucified. But from God's standpoint, when Jesus Christ was crucified, you and I were identified with him. It was as if you and I were there and we were crucified with him. Then he goes on to say that I am no longer the one who is living. Jesus Christ lives in me. That is the reason why he wants you to stay connected. He wants to live his life through you and to glorify himself through you. He wants to take your life completely over. Oh, so that you can say with the Apostle Paul, the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I am no longer living to please myself. I am no longer living to just do anything that I want. I have someone who paid an awesome price for my life. I have someone, I love him dearly. He gave his life for me. I have been crucified with him. My own life has been crucified with him. Now I am living with him. I am no longer the one living. When you see me, you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is living his life through me. Oh, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Oh, I love what he added. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. He loved me and gave himself for me. That is why we must remain connected to the vine. When someone sees you, oh, you see, Jesus walked and he lived this life, helping humanity. God did his work that he wanted to do through him. That is how he wants us to live. Lord, you are my Lord. The life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm no longer living to please myself. I'm no longer living for myself. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I'm not living by sight. I live by faith in the Son of God. Ah, my Lord and my God, that should be our heart desire. Lord, take over my life. Lord, glorify yourself through my life. Lord, reach out to others through my life. Lord, let my life be a witness for you through the power of the Holy Spirit, who has come to redeem me, who has come to save me. Lord, take me over completely, spirit, soul, and body. I want to be totally yielded to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, this world is crying out. They want to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, my body is available. You need a body to express yourself in the earth. Take my life over completely in the mighty name of Jesus. The life that I'm now living in the flesh, Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ lives in me. Oh, Christ lives in me. Oh, Christ lives in me. If you are looking for an expression of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I want my life to be that kind of life. That is the key to fruitful living. That is the key to bearing fruit. That is the key to seeing his life fulfilled in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Going back to John chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 15. The next thing that he goes on to say as a result of staying connected to the branch, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Useless. There's no value there. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, the next key to being fruitful is that we must ask the Lord. We must remain prayerful. Verse 7, this is all tied to bearing fruit. You say, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You see, we don't, you see, from God's standpoint, this is talking, verse 7 is talking about prayer. He wants us to remain close to him in prayer. He wants us to remain close to him in fellowship. If you have a friend, or if you're someone that you are close to, you talk to them very often. If you have a friend and you haven't spoken to them in a while, there is an issue. So he says, you remain close to me, but he says, if you abide in me. Verse 7 tells you exactly how to get your prayers answered every time. Number one, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The fruit that he's talking about here in this particular instance is prayer fruit. He wants you to have answers to your prayer and to your desires that are in line with the will of God. When you receive answers to prayer, he says that God the Father is glorified. I'm just imagining this now. That God, when you receive answers to your prayer, God sits on the throne and he's like, wow, this was all worth it. It was worth it for me to send my son to come and die for you. It was worth it for me to love you and continue loving you. And it was worth it for us to have done all these things, to giving you the name of Jesus so you can use in prayer. And as you are using the name and you are seeing the result, your joy is full. Wow, he says the Father will be glorified, that he is glorified. And he says, so, notice, he says, so you will be my disciples. Indirectly, he's saying that you are my disciples if I start seeing prayer fruit in your life. He is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. But the key is, how do I do this? Number one, he says, abide in him. You cannot disconnect from him and have a successful prayer life. Then he also goes on to say, let my words abide in you. And to do that, you're going to have to take time to meditate on the word of God, to think on the word of God. Get that word into your heart. The word that abides in you is the word that talks to you. Let me repeat that again. The words that abide in you are the words that talk to you. When you are faced with the circumstances of life and the word of God abides in you, you know that when you call and when you pray to God, he will answer. So your response will be, I have a father. And that is the word that you act on. I have a father. He says he loves me. I know he loves the world. But in my heart, I believe that he loves me. And when I cry out to him, he will answer. He said he will never leave me nor forsake me. He says he's with me all the time till the end of the age. He says, my Lord, my God said, he said he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am not an orphan. My Lord and my God, I have the mighty Holy Spirit indwelling me. He's with me all the time. He's with me when I wake up. He's with me when I step out into the day. He's with me at work. He's with me all the time. My Lord and my God, I am not lonely. I am not an orphan. He's with me all the time. Oh, that word begins to talk back to you. Let those words abide in you. And then he says, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. If you notice carefully, you is mentioned 5 times in the scripture. Number 1, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask, number 3, what's you, number 4, desire, and it shall be done for you, number 5. You see, whether your prayers are heard and answered or not, a lot depends on you. He mentions you 5 times in that verse. Who is you? Who is you? Who is you? You is me. He's talking to you. Whether your prayer is heard or answered or not, so many times you say, if God will do it, he will do it. That's not what he said here. He tells you exactly how to get answers to your prayer. Every time. Look at it again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Get this word in your heart. Think about it. But the key is, you must remain in him and let his words remain in you. In the good times, in the bad times, in the difficult times, get that word in there and let it come out. Because when the words are in you, now when you pray, you are praying in line with his word and it's guaranteed an answer. Notice again what he says. That's what he was talking about. The same John is the person that wrote 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I'm taking my time because this is so important. The frustration in the prayer life comes from not following the process. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. He's saying this, John 15:7, in slightly different words. And notice, he says, this is what the confidence. And we know. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know his will already because his word is his will. And that word is abiding in us. Then when we ask, we are asking in line with his will. We won't ask something outside his will. And when we do that, we have the assurance that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then We are not trying to get the answer to our prayer. He says we have. We have. We have the petitions that we have desired of him or asked of him. Oh, my. If we know, we are confident. This is the secret to having a fruitful prayer life. I'm giving us vital keys this morning. Let the word of God abide in you. Stay close to God. Come close to him through your prayers. Cry out to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Pour your grace upon my family. Let your blessing be upon my business. Let your blessing be on this company. Oh, let me be a blessing. Let me be prosperous for your glory. Bless my children so that they will live in your grace. Cure every disease, every infirmity. You go to him and you are working closely to him in fellowship. Through your prayer, when you begin to do that, it makes all the difference. So many times, the frustration comes from not having a close relationship with God in prayer. When you begin to pray, one time in Acts chapter 12, James had been killed. And then they proceeded to take Peter as well. Then the church said, enough is enough. Sometimes we have to, I'm just paraphrasing it now. You've taken James, you've killed him, and now you are coming for Peter. Enough is enough. Acts chapter 12 verse 5 says, thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 12 verse 5 says, he says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What if the church hadn't prayed? Verse 6 says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, get yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garments and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And it's interesting, Peter, if you knew, this is interesting, that tomorrow you are going to be executed, how can you sleep? He was so asleep, the angel had to tap him to wake him up. Most of us will be staying and having funny things going through our stomach. Tonight is my last night on the earth. This person is sleeping. Wow. That the angel had to tap him, wake up. And the whole time he thought he was dreaming. But the point here is, when the church prayed, his captivity ended. The chains fell off. The darkness was dispelled. In the name of Jesus, I pray as we begin to pray and step up our prayer life in this season, may every form of captivity that we are in, may we come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said, may we come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, may we come out in the name of Jesus Christ. May we come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the doors open to them of their own one accord. Oh, my Lord and my God, any doors in your life that are closed, that are meant to be open, as you begin to cry out to God, as you begin to pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may those doors begin to open of their own accord in the mighty name of Jesus. Where you went some time back and they said no to you when they were supposed to have said yes, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you begin to pray, may those doors begin to open in the mighty name of Jesus. Those family members that look like they will never turn to God, as you lift them up in prayer to God, in the mighty name of Jesus, may they begin to surrender to God on their own accord, in the mighty name of Jesus. If someone believes it, say yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. The doors open to them of their own accord. The chains fell off, doors open. Chains fell off, doors open. Chains fell off, doors open. Oh, I see you coming out of every form of captivity. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know if Peter knew this verse, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. So many times we are tempted to worry about our children, about our family, about various aspects of our lives. But notice what he says. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. Don't let the devil overwhelm you with worry. He delights to answer our prayers. He delights to reveal himself to us. He delights for us to bear prayer fruit. Don't be anxious. The thing about worrying is it won't change anything. But he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request. Take your request to him. Let it be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, James talked about the fact that we don't have because we don't ask. Just ask him. He actually looks forward to hearing your voice. In James chapter 4, thank you, Lord. James chapter 4, verse 2, he's speaking. He says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war. Yet, I like this phrase, you do not have because you do not ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Just ask. But like I said last week, so many times we grow independent and we said, no, I'll figure this out on my own. I use this illustration. When I was in school, my father took good care of me. He provided everything that I needed. All I had to do was call him. That's all I had to do was call him, and it will be done. And but sometimes I'll be like, nah, I'm going to figure this out myself. I don't want to depend on him. I'm going to work this out myself. I'll figure this out. Sometimes that's how we do it, God. You be God. You stay right here. Stay up there. We are down here. I'll figure this out. And we bang our heads against the wall. And after a while, I say, okay, well, I'll give him a call. Dad, I need your help. All I had to do was ask. You do not have because you do not ask, is what he's saying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the last point here is, remain in the love of God. The key to fruitful living, remain in the love of God. James chapter 15 verse 9, he says, James chapter 15 verse 9, thank you, Lord. James chapter 15 verse 9, now notice what he says. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love, or remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Remain in the love of God. Practice that love every day. My Father loved me. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He loved me, and Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Practice that love. Notice what he says. He says that, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And in that high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, let them know that the same love that you love me with is the same love that you love them with. My. Or I started going around and saying to myself, the Father loves me the same way that he does Jesus. He loves me the same way that he does Jesus. He cares for me. He's watchful. He watches over me affectionately. My. The Father doesn't love me any less than how he loves Jesus. No, he loves me with the same love. Wow, I'm loved. Oh, I am loved. I'm loved. I know he loves the world. But he cannot love the world, people who are unsaved, more than he loves me. No. My Father loves me. Oh, my Lord and my God, he loves me. He will take good care of me. There is nothing my Father cannot do. He wants my joy to be full. He wants me to receive answers to prayer. He wants me to fulfill his plan for my life. He wants me to bear fruit. Oh, my Lord and my God, my Father loves me. Oh, my Lord, he loves me. He's a good caretaker. He's a good provider. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My Father loves me. Oh, I remain in his love. I refuse to get out of his love. I refuse to get out of his love. I abide in his love. I remain in his love. Oh, my Lord and my God, as you do that, the joy of the Lord will begin to bubble up. No matter what you are surrounded with, those words are abiding in you. You are practicing it. Very soon, all those problems will begin to melt like snow. Like snow in sunshine. As the Father has loved me, and I also have loved you, abide in my love. And then, of course, if we abide in his love, then naturally we want to extend that love to others as well. We want others to experience the same love that we experience. And then he goes on to say, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for me, that I might come into the kingdom of God. Now I lay down my life for others, so they can come to know God as well. We are talking about how you can start, instead of just surviving on the earth, now life becomes meaningful. Now you are fruitful and bearing a mighty harvest. Listen, Jesus Christ is the one that can make a difference in your life. Jesus Christ is the one that can come into your life and turn that wilderness into a fruitful field. But you must be willing to cooperate with him. You must be willing to cooperate with him. Don't keep running away from God. It gets difficult and difficult. It gets harder and harder as you keep running away from God. So this morning, if you are willing to begin a relationship with Jesus, we want to pray with you. I'm just going to lead you along that path. You pray that prayer with me, and you will come into the family of God. If you knew God at some point and you disconnected, this is an opportunity for you to come back and be reconnected to the vine. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. Thank you, O God, for bringing me into the family of God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I confess you, Lord, as my Lord. Come into my heart. Save me. In Jesus' mighty name. Forgive me my sins. And help me live a life for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, let us hear from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you knew God and you disconnected, just say, Lord Jesus, take me back. And he will take you back. Thank you, Lord. And at this time, I just want you to search in your hearts. I want us to be deliberate about this. If you have to write it down, write it down. Some family member that is not saved. We are going to pray the prayer that Jesus said here. They may be running 100 miles an hour from God. Maybe they want at some point knew God, but they disconnected. We are going to pray them back into the kingdom of God. Begin to talk to God concerning them. Mention their name. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the Lord of the harvest. Mention their name. Wherever they may be in the world, it doesn't care. They are laborers everywhere. Lord, send laborers across the path of this family member. Someone they will listen to. And in the mighty name of Jesus, as you send them, let them yield to you that they will be born again, that they will come into the family of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Spend a few moments. Somebody did this on your behalf. That is why you are sitting here today. Today, intercede. He said if his words abide in you, his word is the fact that we should pray that he should send laborers. Lord, send laborers across their path, wherever they may be. In the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord. Lord, husbands, wives, children, in the name of Jesus, send laborers across their path in the mighty name of Jesus to reap that field, to reap that harvest in the name of Jesus. Legros kabasoteya. Pray in the spirit if you can. In the mighty name of Jesus, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, legros kabasotelabasote, limbrason telabasote. God send laborers across their path. Oh, cousins, aunties, in the mighty name of Jesus, mention them by name. He wants us to bear prayer fruit. Neighbors, in the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice. God send laborers across their path in the mighty name of Jesus in this season that they will be reaped into the kingdom of God. My Lord, I see testimonies coming out of this. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will hear news. You will hear news. You will hear news. They are coming into the kingdom of God. They are coming into the kingdom of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Lebro sabasoteya. They have not gone too far for God to reach them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. Send laborers across their path. Send laborers across their path. You know who they will listen to. In the mighty name of Jesus, lemros kabaha. In the mighty name of Jesus, lezo sabatosa, lemrezo zabasotelebaha. In the mighty name of Jesus, lemros satea. We call the prodigals back home. In the mighty name of Jesus, lemros satea, lemros satea. Devil, take your hands off of our family members. We break your power over them. We break your power over them. Your power is broken over them. In the mighty name of Jesus, lemrosata, they come into the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, lerosabaha. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, cry out to God. Lebrosapaya, lebrosata. In the mighty name of Jesus, yes, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, lebrosabalalabasote. In the lelelelebosate, abasoteya. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will come, they will come, they will come, they will come in Jesus' mighty name. Lemosatabaha. We hold them up before God. Yeah, lebrosataha. Yeah, I see them coming back. I see them coming back. I see them coming in. Yeah, I see them coming in. Oh, the power of the enemy is broken. In the name of Jesus, Rabasote, Lezozosabasotelebiha. Lift them up before God. Lift them up before God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this message was a blessing. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow, with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.